It is time for the single coolest sports show in the country, The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics.
You've got Matt Bonner, who my notes tell me is a sandwich blogger named Red Mamba. I mean, how can you not like a guy like that?
And the Red Rocket knocks down the triple.
Red Rocket, I'm telling you, Red Mamba might not miss a shot. He might not miss a shot.
Just like in politics, in the instructional video business, you need credibility. You want credibility? I'll give you credibility. Hey, Tim, what's my nickname?
The Red Rocket.
No.
The Sandwich Hunter.
No. Try again.
The Medium Fundamental.
And welcome to The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. I am Chris Ryan here in the great state of New Hampshire. We have a Patriots-filled show for you as we talk to number of the Patriots players. Also coming up on the program, Celtics' Terry Rozier, the Bruins' Jake DeBrusk, and Big Poppy's on the show today. David Ortiz, who is in New Hampshire, selling some wine to folks, autographing wine bottles, and to caught up with my old friend Big Pun. And he'll be on the program just a little bit. Welcome. And now, my old friend, Matt Bonner. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Appreciate you joining us for the program. So it is Super Bowl time, and it's kind of become, you know, an annual, this is the arrogance of the New England sports fan and the New England sports journalist, is an annual occurrence, right? I mean, every year the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, it feels like, or at least they have been in about half of the Super Bowls over the reign of Belichick and Brady for the last 17 seasons in New England. And what are your thoughts heading into to this one for the Pats?
Kind of quietly optimistic. I mean, you look at the last two Super Bowl wins and just how dramatic they were. So I think it would be arrogant for any Patriots fan to just be like, we got this. You know, we're playing Philadelphia. Their starting quarterback is injured. We're the heavy favorites because for whatever reason, never goes smoothly as planned.
Right.
It seems like.
Yeah, I think the Eagles are one of the best teams they've played in the Super Bowl, to be honest with you. You know, you can discount Nick Foles and say, well, he was a backup quarterback and he lost his starting job and so forth. But, you know, I watched them put up 38 points against a pretty good Vikings team, and they have a lot of weapons on offense and defense. And I think that, you know, there have been a lot of good teams, obviously, the Patriots have faced during this run. But I think this is one of the better teams the Patriots have faced. And as you noted, the last two Super Bowls, the Patriots have won on the last play. And even, you know, the three prior to that the Patriots won came down to Adam Vinatieri putting the final points up on the scoreboard with field goals. So, yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl has never been an easy thing for the Patriots, and I don't think this one's going to be any different. I think it is going to be high scoring, but I am a little bit worried about, you know, this Patriots defense versus that Eagles offense. And to me, I think the Super Bowl is a toss-up. I think either team could win, but I'm going to side on, you know, the experience of Tom Brady late in the game to make the necessary plays for the Patriots to win. I think it's going to be very similar to that Jacksonville game. I don't think the Patriots will be behind by as much necessarily, but I think, or hopefully they're not behind by as much. But I think that you know, the Patriots defense and the moment becomes very difficult for the opposing team. And Brady is a master at these types of moments and makes the right plays in the right spots, and so do his you know, his supporting cast, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, I think under normal circumstances, this would be kind of like a trap game, just because psychologically you're playing a team whose starting quarterback is injured. You're gonna maybe relax a little bit on defense. And I think on the flip side, the team whose starting quarterback is out is gonna play harder to try to compensate, thus creating an advantage potentially, at least mentally, for the team with the injured quarterback. But to your point, they scored so many points in the NFC Championship game, so that's kind of like a wake up, like, well, actually, these guys are still really good on offense.
Right.
And it's the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. Like, you know, I mean, how are you not 100% hyped up every possession for the Super Bowl? Yes, the Patriots, it seems like they're there every single year, but surely that doesn't lose its novelty playing the Super Bowl.
Right. And I think, and you could perhaps comment on this, is that, actually, I am going to ask you to comment on this. Once you win, you know, you kind of, I've heard from guys a lot, they want it more. Like, they want that to be a part of, once they've experienced how great the winning is, they want to experience that all the time. And that becomes even more of a motivator than it was before. And for the Patriots, I mean, you'll hear the interviews and they'll, you know, deny it, but they're also kind of playing for sports immortality at this point in time. I mean, they have a chance to win 3 out of 4 Super Bowls, go back to back, and, you know, championship teams, you know, they tend to be remembered, particularly in the region that they're in. But I mean, when you win back to back championships, or 3 out of 4, that places you in, you know, a group of the all time great teams where folks talk about you 50, 100 years down the road.
And all time great teams for any sport, really.
Right.
If you think about it, and for Brady, you know, in the conversation of all time greatest athlete for any sport. So there's definitely, legacy wise, a lot on the line. I think when you're talking about back to back, it's hard. I think it's really hard to get to the championship.
Yep.
And then once you're there, it's like, well, it's a championship game. You're going to be hyped up. I mean, think about, like, I mean, even anyone listening, think about every championship game you've been in. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's like third and fourth rec league. You remember that feeling, like, this is for the championship.
Right.
And so it's you got to think the Patriots are going to, you know, give the Eagles their best shot and vice versa. But it's, you know, way back to your point about the defense and their offense, and we know how the Patriots are about kind of managing games, and then we see a lot of wins where they kind of build a lead and then hold on at the end. There's a lot of different scenarios in play to make this a nerve-wracking game if you're a Patriots fan.
Right. I mean, let's look at, you know, baseball or basketball as an example. Like, everyone knows how great the, you know, the 27 Yankees, the Yankees were the 20s. Babe Ruth, one of the great all-time players. Why? Because they won, you know, those multiple championships and they had one of the great players of all time. You don't necessarily remember Walter Johnson and the 1924 Washington Senators now, do you? Or George Mikan. But you do remember Bill Russell and his championship teams. So this is what the... And probably, you know, Brady's going to be, they're going to stretch, you know, Brady's 5 championships out through the course of the 17 years and then plus, as I don't think he's done yet. But, you know, this group is going to be in a different, in my view, in a different, it's a different team than the previous, you know, 3 championships, the 3 out of 4. So maybe they get, in the course of history, it gets all lumped together and it's just, you know, the Patriots dynasty with Belichick and Brady, and this doesn't matter in terms of the historical context, but, you know, at least in the short term, it does matter a lot in the historical context. And, you know, just because we've seen very few teams be able to, you know, completely change, and obviously you were a part of a team that changed from the first championship teams in 99 and in 2003 and 5 with the Spurs to the one that was in 2014. But even still, that was only one championship, quote unquote. But it's very rare for an entire roster to turn over from the first championship to, you know, the last championship. And Brady and really, you know, Pop and Tim Duncan are the only guy, Brady and Belichick and Pop and Tim Duncan are the only ones that we can, you know, think of here in recent times. And of course, sports have changed where if, you know, the Yankees were to change in the, you know, from Joe DiMaggio's first championship in 36 to his last championship in 51, you know, it's because of attrition, because there wasn't free agency and guys left either because the ownership wanted to get rid of them or they retired.
I think it's incredible. I don't know if people realize how difficult that is in this day and age of professional sports. I mean, you look at the dynasties, you know, Bill Russell, and up until I think like until the early 90s, there was no free agency in the NBA.
Right.
And even, even I think other professional sports were similar in that it was back then, just the way CBAs were structured, collective bargaining agreements, it was a lot easier to keep your star players, keep all your players, really keep them together. And in this sports climate, to be able to keep where you can't really keep teams together for that long, the turnover rate is really fast. It's amazing for an organization to be able to, you know, keep a couple key guys together with the coach, turn over everybody else, and still win a championship with basically a different team. And so it's really hard to do.
And in concluding this segment, it should be noted as well that the Patriots, you also have to be fortunate. And just as the Patriots were unfortunate to run into New York Giants teams who were really good and were peaking at the right time, and the Patriots have also been fortunate in that, you know, we look at the Spurs, and you guys were one of the best teams in the NBA there for a 4 or 5 year period. You went to the finals twice, and you won one championship, and that's because the Warriors were there, you know, the Heat were there, the Thunder were there. The Grizzly, I mean, there were the competition, level competition has to, you know, be in a certain spot too. And, everything has worked out well to make for this incredible opportunity for the Patriots.
I agree with you. And I don't know if it was a player or a former player. I saw a headline, you know, he was quoted as saying the rest of the league should be embarrassed that the Patriots are back in the Super Bowl and nobody's, you know, figured out how to take them down yet. I don't know if maybe this is the subject matter he was probably referring to in that tweet, but I don't know. I think the Warriors' first championship, people were saying, you know, was it their first championship? Everybody was saying in the playoffs they got lucky. You know, it was kind of like,
right,
like the team in the NCAA tournament who played the...
Kyrie got hurt. Got hurt.
Like every team they were playing, had significant injuries. So, yeah, they won the championship, but, you know, are they really that good? And then, obviously, the next year they came out and broke the win record, so can't really say anything, but... But yeah, I definitely see your point.
Yeah, in 15, the Warriors won it, and then, you know, the Cavs obviously transitioned in the East away from the Heat being that centralized power. And there were always these big obstacles in the way for in the NBA, and there remain those big obstacles in the way. And that kind of seems to be always the kind of the course of history. Where in the NFL, there is no sustained team outside of maybe the Steelers. Where you look at and like, oh, this is they had to get through that great Steelers team, or they had to get through this great team, or they lost to that team this year. I mean, you guys had the Clippers were really good out West, but they never even got a sniff of the finals. And it's just the sports are different, and you're in order for a dynasty like the Patriots to take place, and this is not taking anything away from the Patriots, but things have to work out too. Like the context of the time period has to work out. And that has been, you know, the Patriots have had to do everything in order to be able to benefit from that. But they certainly have benefited from a favorable environment, particularly when you look at the context of, you know, other, what's going on in the other sports right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of factors going to winning a championship. Obviously, that gets multiplied when you talk about multiple championships. Regardless, all that aside, all that context, it's still really hard to do.
Yeah.
And obviously very exciting for all us Pats fans, so it should be a fun game to watch.
You're listening to The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. So when we continue here on the program, we go in-depth on Super Bowl 52 and talk some more Patriots. Back with more after this. Welcome back here on The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. I am Chris Ryan here in the great state of New Hampshire. This segment of the show brought to you by Douglas Leonard and Garvey. If you've been injured, the most important decision you're going to make is who your lawyer is going to be. We encourage you to check out Douglas Leonard and Garvey at NH Law Office. Patriots.com. Well, the most important thing on Patriots fans' minds, perhaps Tom Brady's as well, going into Super Bowl number 52, is the health and well-being of Rob Gronkowski. Gronkowski has practiced, and his status for the Super Bowl still up in the air. Here's Brady meeting with the media on Saturday in Foxborough.
Yeah, it's always great to have him out there. He's a great player, a great person, great teammate, and a big part of what we do. So obviously it hurts when he's not out there for a lot of reasons, but he's doing the best he can do, and we're all hopeful. I think he's got a great personality and a great way about him, so he definitely has a joyfulness to him. And he brings that to the team.
Brady also talked about the challenges presented by the Eagles' defense.
They've got a great defense, as good as we faced all year. And the D line is I think better than any team we faced all year. Fletcher Cox is a incredible player, but they're all really talented. They all play well together. I think they got a great scheme. Mixing them well with their coverages and what they do. But they've been playing well all year, and that's why they're in this game. And that's why we're in this game, and it's going to be a great game.
So let's take a look now at the Eagles' offense and the challenges presented by Nick Foles, as well as the supporting cast, which is really good offense. One of the best offenses the Patriots have faced this year. Here's Stephon Gilmore, Patriots cornerback, on the challenge presented by the Eagles.
And seeing from the Eagles on film, it's like a multi-faceted offense that provides a number of different challenges. What do you see from them, and what are the challenges they present?
They got a lot of talent. They got good running backs. They got talent at receiver. And Foles, he's doing his thing. He won two playoff games, two big games. So they got a good football team.
Does it feel like in some ways that their offense is similar to this one, and the number of different looks that they can give you, how they have a lot of things out of the backfield, perhaps more of a power back would want, but a lot of versatility, it seems, with that offense?
Yeah, in some ways, but some ways they're different. They do some stuff that's a little different, and everybody's got to do their job to come out with a win.
The play that you made at the end of the AFC Championship game on 4th and 15, how much have you heard about that? And was that kind of the pinnacle of your career, and does it mean a lot to make that play to help get the team to this point?
Yeah, it was a big play. But, right now I'm really trying to really focus on what I can do to help my team this game and make plays any way I can. But, yeah, it was a good play. But, like I said, just trying to focus on what I can do this game and go out there and make plays and get the ball back to our offense.
Do you lean on guys who've been in the Super Bowl before for experience, or do you think that, it's a football game and you just mind your P's and Q's, so to speak, and success follows?
Don't matter, really. You just got to go out there and perform. It really don't matter about experience or nothing like that. It's just you got to be great on that day and go out there and do whatever you can to win.
What's the pride that you've taken in the defense, in the progress that you've made throughout the course of the year, and how has this group come together?
We just try to get better and better every game. Not perfect, but whenever something don't go right, we go try to go in and fix it and lean on each other to make plays, and coaches put us in position to make plays, so it all goes hand in hand.
And final thing, when you look at this team's ability to make plays, what about this group allows you to do that? Because it seems like when you have to make the plays late in the Jacksonville game or whatever game you're in, it seems like this defense is able to make those big plays.
Yeah, you never know when that play is going to happen. You just got to be ready to go out. And no matter who it is, they got to be ready to make that play to help this team win. So. It starts in practice. Just work hard in practice and be ready for it in the game, because you never know what play.
Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore right there, one of the key Patriots defensive players going into Super Bowl 52. Another key player is Landon Roberts. He's the middle linebacker for the Pats.
You look at the Eagles on tape. What do you see, and what is the challenge that's presented?
Oh, man, you see a lot. You got a lot of games to go off of, man. They're a powerful offense, man, and you just got to be sound.
When you look at the running game and the type of backs they have, the passing game, obviously Foles has done. I mean, it seems like this is a pretty well-rounded offense, but similar to the Patriots in that there's a lot of different weapons that can be presented. You don't quite know what they're going to utilize.
You know, they got a lot of weapons on their offense, you know, especially at the backs. Nick Foles, he's doing a great job. At the QB, you got the receivers. They whole unit's great also, and you have a offensive line that's doing a great job also. So they're just a complete, you know, offense. So you just got to be ready for everything they throw at you and be able to adjust.
What's the Super Bowl like for you, you know, this year with this key role that you have as starting middle linebacker versus, you know, last year? I would imagine it's like completely different. It's exciting, but also obviously, you know, a little bit daunting.
Honestly, man, it like I was focused last year, but it's like to a whole nother level. Like I don't really think about it in the aspect of overwhelming. I think I think about it in a leadership role, type of being that guy to, you know, make sure like everything is, you know, everything is good to go, you know. And is it more pressure? No, because I've just been doing it the entire year, you know. So just going to be me and make sure like we're all ready to go.
In terms of, you know, making sure that everything's ready to go, does that mean like, you know, in practice you see something and you point out to the other guys, okay, this is how we're not doing this good enough? Is that the type of role that you take on and making sure the preparation is where it needs to be?
My role is just the job that I have to do as a middle linebacker, you know, if that's communicating, if that's getting calls in, if that's just, you know, making sure the awareness there, you know, it's whatever, like whatever Matty P and my linebacker coach asked me to do, you know, that's kind of my job, you know, and that's what we work on. We work on the string, you know. D-line got their job, linebackers got their job, and the back end got their job, and we all just put it together, you know.
How underrated do you feel this defense is? Would you consider the top flight talent that you guys have with, you know, Steph Gilmore, obviously McCourty and Flowers, yourself? Do you feel like you guys are kind of underappreciated in some ways?
At the end of the day, you know, we don't really get caught up in the noise, man. We just go out there and play, you know, and, you know, we don't get caught up in, because we know who we are. We know what we're doing out there on that field, and we just play for each other.
In conclusion, what's been special about this team, you know, this year? What stood out to you about kind of the process throughout the course of the season that's made this all enjoyable and kind of culminating with the Super Bowl and getting this point?
You know, every team, you know, is different. You know, last year was last year's team. This year is this year's team. But you always, every team, the grind, you know, every team going to have a different grind. And the grind from that we put in on this team is different, man. And, you know, we just, the more you doubt, you know, we build off of it, and we just keep grinding, you know, and we keep our heads in the ground.
You look at the Patriots on defense over the last couple of years in big games. An individual who has had big plays in those games, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the AFC Championship game, turning up the pressure on Blake Bortles, Trey Flowers.
How do you sum up kind of the feeling of going to the Super Bowl? Is it an excitement? Is it, how do you categorize it?
Yeah, it's definitely excitement. A great opportunity. You know, just to know that. You know, you want two teams that's still playing at this time of year, and you know, all the hard work you put into it, all the you know, the extra things, and you know, blood, sweat, and tears you put into it, and it's finally you know, when you get to this point of the year, you can see it, see great results from it.
How special is this group, particularly on the defensive side? Ed McCourty was talking about the fact that there's a lot of unsung heroes, and you're certainly one of those guys. I think you're one of the best players in the NFL on the defensive side, but you guys don't have the name ID, so to speak, where people automatically know who you are. What's special about this group?
You know, just a lot of guys that come together. Like you said, they don't care who, you know, get the credit or about all the accolades and the things of, you know, the media, you know, kind of you know, the media, you know, I guess fame or things like that, big names. But, you know, we just come together for one common goal, and, you know, we just continue to play hard and, you know, do it for the people in this locker room.
Whether it's the Super Bowl last year or the two postseason games this year, it seems like the big games bring out something in you. Do you see it that way?
You know, I just, you know, prepare myself to do the best I can for my team. So, you know, if it's a big game, a small game early on in the season, you know, I always want to do my best. So, you know, at this point in the year, you know, you obviously got to do a little extra. You playing against a lot of better teams, you know, they're playing better at this time of year. So, you know, you obviously got to do some extra, work a little harder. So, you know, I just prepare a little harder. So.
What have you seen from the Eagles so far? Foles, obviously, old friend LeGarrette Blount as well.
Oh, yeah, it's a great team. You know, they've been doing unbelievable this year. You know, like you said, LeGarrette Blount, you know, he's been running hard along with Ajayi. And, you know, Foles, definitely a great quarterback. You know, he's been, you know, maybe not this year as far as the starting and being able to play. But once he got in there, you know, he kept it rolling, you know, when wins went down. So, you know, it's going to be a tough task for us.
This team will very often discount, you know, experience and say that, you know, the experience is what is right in front of you. But is going to the Super Bowl and having been through that last year and the whole process, do you think that's valuable for this team?
You know, it's a brand new team. So, you know, I wouldn't say last year experience, you know, got anything to do with the outcome of this game. But, you know, this is a brand new team, so we got to prepare as such. And, you know, this team, you know, got a lot of different guys from it did a year ago. So, you know, it definitely, you know, something you got to do all over again as far as preparing, as far as, you know, the experience and things like that. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's valuable for this year. So.
Darling, for you personally, how do you go about avoiding penalties? What are you able to do to avoid penalties, and what does this team do collectively?
I mean, you know, it's one of the things is you're just playing smart and using your technique and fundamentals. You know, don't allow yourself to, you know, get caught in a bad position where you have to have a penalty or, you know, things like that. So, you know, it's just about playing smart, playing with great fundamentals.
Trey Flowers right there. You're listening to The Life of Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. This segment of the show presented by Douglas Leonard and Garvey is the Patriots back in Super Bowl number 52. And one of the reasons, you know, we talk a lot about the Patriots and their preparation and the attention to detail, being prepared to maximize the moment. But one of the other big things, this team genuinely, you know, likes each other. They enjoy being around each other. There's more personality to this team and this particular, you know, Patriots dynasty, the back end of the Brady Belichick dynasties compared to the front end, where there weren't as many personalities. And again, what is apparent is that they genuinely like and enjoy one another. Here's Patriots wide receiver Chris Hogan talking to me about that.
Everyone talks about this, how this team prepares and what makes this team great. In your perspective, from your perspective, what about the group of guys and the fact that you guys like each other and they're working together? What about this group makes it special outside of, you know, the normal Patriot things?
I mean, this football team is, you know, all these guys in this locker room, you know, we all get along with one another. We all know that, you know, we're coming here with one common goal, and that's to win football games. And every single guy in this locker room is, you know, wants to do that and be a part of it and do whatever they can to help win football games. And, you know, we work really hard together and we have a lot of fun doing it.
How much does it help to have individuals throughout the course of this offense where you never quite know if it's going to be your night? Obviously, Danny Amendola's had nights, you've had nights, James White has had nights. How much does it help for the quote-unquote role players to always know that they're integral?
You know, I mean, you never know when your number is going to be called upon. And when that number is called upon, you know, and whether it's on offense, defense, special teams, whatever it is, and, you know, you're able to make a play to help this team win, you know, every single guy in this locker room, you know, that's what they want to do. I mean, that's what they put in all the work in throughout the offseason training camp. That's why they prepare all week so that when they go into these games, they're, you know, and their number's called and they have an opportunity to make a big play or help the team win in some fashion, then, you know, that's why these guys are here, and that's why they, you know, go out there on Sundays and play as hard as they can.
I don't think, is there something in common amongst, you know, the guys in terms of whether it's their competitiveness or abilities that kind of string the group together?
I mean, I think, you know, all the guys across the league are very competitive, but, you know, in this locker room, you know, there's a lot of competitors, and, you know, they don't like losing, and they enjoy winning, and I think, you know, we go out there with, you know, one common goal, and, you know, like I said, you know, everyone in this locker room is more than willing to do whatever they can to help this football team win, and, you know, I think that's why everyone, you know, in this locker room gets along with each other very well, and that's why we work as hard as we do.
All right, Chris Hogan right there. You're listening to The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. When we return, Patriots' Devin McCourty, Red Sox star David Ortiz. It's all still here to come here on The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. I am Chris Ryan here in the great state of New Hampshire. That segment of the show brought to you by Douglas Leonard and Garvey and NHLawOffice.com. Welcome back. This is The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. This segment of the show brought to you by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Back to the Patriots now. And, you know, of course, the preparation, the excellence of Brady and Belichick are all a big part of the Patriots' success. But this is a group that genuinely likes each other, and the quote-unquote supporting cast is also really, really good. They provide a lot of opportunity for this team to have success. And one of those key individuals is Patriots safety Devin McCourty.
Outside of the preparation side of things, what part of the team dynamic do you think allows for you guys to have success, kind of the camaraderie of the group all together?
I know one thing for us is, like, on Fridays, like, we're all in there eating. But even you guys see it in here. Mm-hmm. Like, if we get a basketball conversation going, it can get intense in here of guys going back and forth. And I think we share different passions off the field that we discuss a lot. So, I was just talking about that, getting to know why each other's playing. When you get to know one another, to me, it motivates you more to learn your role, to prepare, be ready to go. You know, all of those things come up, and I think that comes from getting to know the guy next to you.
Belichick, is notorious for picking guys not just because of their football ability, but because of the role they can have in the locker room, having certain guys are leaders and the personalities and so forth. Do you see yourself as being kind of the guy who, one of the glue guys, the team, that part of your leadership is bringing everybody together?
Yeah, I think, to me, when you're a leader, you got to do, what's best for the team. Like, it's understanding that, and if that's bringing everybody up, if that's, watching extra, like, there's so many different roles, that entails. And I think you learn more and more about your leadership each year. And, I think I'm one of those guys that, it's up to me. If the team's going to go, then, it's usually a part of me trying to be a leader of helping guys and making sure we're all moving in the right direction. But I think the cool thing about this team, and it's not just the guys that are, elected captain. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of guys in different roles showing their leadership, and it's always needed.
At what point did you really feel like you established yourself as a leader with this group? Was it from day one, and it was just kind of finding your spot within the room? Where did you kind of establish yourself into the leader you are today?
I think my leadership roles have changed. I think when I came in as a rookie, I was a leader of the rookies, mm-hmm. And then, my second year being a captain, I didn't think I was, like, a captain of the team. Like, I thought, my job was to be, a leader, a captain to the guys, second, third, rookies, the younger guys on the team, to connect with them and help them. And I would say probably about, like, my fourth year, I felt like defensively, like, it was my role to try to make sure, the secondary and us as a unit. And, I think now this year I think of myself as more as a team, trying to make sure we're moving in the right direction as a team and all on the same page. But I think, you grow as a leader, and your leadership role changes sometimes through the years. And, depending on how the season goes, who we have in here kind of defines what you need to do for the team.
This team is notorious for, kind of the game-in, game-out approach and down-in, down-out approach. But do you grab motivation from what this team has to do in regards to, an historical context, the back-to-back, the 3 out of 4? I mean, is that a part of the focus and the motivation?
No, I mean, it's just, like, you look at, like, 2014, there's a ton of guys that weren't even here. So, I don't think, that matters. I know, like, we get credit all the time for, being the 7th Super Bowl. But, like, we have nothing to do with the other Super, like, it's cool to be here and to be a part of that. But, honestly, that has nothing to do with us. So, it's just all about this game and trying to go out there and win this game.
Well, in the exterior, it's Brady, it's Belichick, it's the 7 Super Bowls, as you mentioned. Is that the feeling from within, too, that it's, it's Brady, Belichick, and everybody else has a role, but those guys are, where they are? Or is it, equal and everyone has their part?
Well, I think to the 7 Super Bowls, I mean, they're a part of those, so that's definitely them. Right. But, no, I don't think, like, it's two guys and a bunch of, puppets. We all have a role. Those two roles just happen to be who the media likes to write about. So, I mean, we don't care about that, but we all understand we have roles to do.
Devin McCourty right there. We continue on the Patriots now with another one of their key players, and that is Daron Harmon, who at the age of 27 has emerged as a leader, as a key player for the Patriots as well in that secondary on passing downs.
Do you think at all about, you know, the historical context of what you guys are trying to do? Does that serve as, you know, motivation? Because, you know, 3 out of 4 back-to-back, that's, you know, all-time territory.
Well, that's something that you can kind of sit down and think about in your off time, off season, when you have some time to sit back and relax. But right now, it does nothing for us. Thinking about that is just distracting us from the real opponent, the Philadelphia Eagles, a great football team who has been through so much this year, lost so many key players, but are still here because of the players they have on the team and their coaching staff. So this is going to be a difficult task for us, but something I feel that we're ready for and up for. So we just got to go out here and do the right things this week, work hard, practice, get to know these guys, and let it all loose 2 Sundays from now.
Obviously, you know, you think of this being the best opponent of the year because it's the Super Bowl. Do you see it that way as well, given, you know, obviously their background and history?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you got to think about it. This is the same team who was underdogs in both of the games that they played home. So it's always been – their back's always been against the wall. So this is a team that's played – had to win 10 to 15 – and had it won this last game, was it 33-7? Yeah. So it just lets you know that they can win any type of way they need to, whether it's a close game or it's a blowout. So, I mean, it's definitely the best team because they beat 2 playoff teams, and not a lot of teams can say, well, only one team can say they did that.
You look at the Jacksonville game, and there are a lot of reasons that you won, but one of the big ones was the penalty side of things, where you guys, particularly in the secondary, avoided penalties, or they took penalties on plays where, you know, Tom would put the ball up there. And obviously a lot of that's the quarterback making the penalty, but it's also you guys don't take a lot of penalties in the secondary or, you know, on the line with holding and stuff. How do you go about avoiding penalties while other teams take them?
Well, we talked about it at the beginning of the year, first half of the season, how we were one of the worst penalized teams in the league. And Bill always tells us it will kill you. It might not kill you right now, but eventually the penalties will catch up to you. And in the second half of the season, we just talked about we just got to get those penalty downs. And I think we got down to, if not the lowest penalized team or one of the top ones. So something that we literally been working on, talking about, and it has to do with just discipline, knowing what you can and can't do. You know, as a DB, you can't grab, so don't grab. So we talk about that a lot, and we just try to play football the right way.
Finally, what words would you describe to use kind of the mindset of playing in the Super Bowl? I mean, is it excitement? Is it, you know, how do you look at it?
It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to play good football for your team to go out there and get a win. I look at it as just nothing more than an opportunity. I need to make sure that I'm ready to go. I need to make sure I study my film, I study my opponents as good as I study anybody this year, because, I mean, I have 2 weeks, so I should know them in and out when it comes time to play them on February 5th.
Sweet. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Daron Harmon right here on Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. This segment of the show brought to you by the Prescription Center as we go in-depth on Super Bowl number 52. James Harrison has made some big plays for the Pats since being acquired via free agency as he was cut loose by the Pittsburgh Steelers. We talked with the great pass rusher, James Harrison.
What's impressed you the most about the way the Patriots go about business from the time that you've been here so far? You've been in the league for a while. You've seen how it works. Is there something different about the Patriots?
No, not really much different.
Do you find that there's more of an attention to detail and preparation, or you find that this is kind of standard operating procedure in the NFL?
I mean, they do some things different, but, I mean, for the most part, I mean, you gotta study your craft if you want to be good at it. So,
have you had the role that you expected when you came here? You've obviously made impact. You've made big plays in the postseason, and you've been able to make your mark here. Is that what you expect to be able to do?
I expect to come in and, you know, play, you know, whatever it was they said I was going to play, which is happening. And you know, when I got out there, I was hoping to have some success, and I'm doing all right, I guess.
Indeed, and Pittsburgh, you know, you obviously expressed the desire to play meaningful football. What does that mean, you know, to you to be here, you know, in the Super Bowl again? And do you envision this happening? Do you think this is something that's kind of like outside the realm of possibility to be playing meaningful football in a role for a team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl?
No, I don't feel it's outside the realm. I mean, I'm here. It is what it is. Like I said before, this is my doing. This is God's plan. This is His will. There's no way you could imagine a situation or a scenario coming down to what it is right now.
Finally, let's check in on the offensive line. One of my favorites, Shaq Mason, who had a Pro Bowl caliber season.
What do you see as being, you know, special about this group as a whole? What do you enjoy about kind of coming to work each day with this group and is allowed for, you know, the overall success?
You talking about as a line or as a team?
The whole team.
Okay, yeah, definitely a special group. Definitely a special group. I mean, just like I'm right around the locker room, you know, you can go up to any guy and, you know what I'm saying, talk to him. All of our guys in the locker room are approachable and, I mean, just a great atmosphere day in, day out.
Sometimes as a locker room split, like it's the O-line, it's the D-line, and obviously you break off into, you know, meetings amongst your guys. But is it different to have that type of camaraderie where everybody is together as one?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, it's a lot of locker rooms that's clicked up and things like that. But, I mean, here, you know, we're one big family, and, you know what I'm saying, that's great for us.
You've mentioned your own toughest critic and that a lot of guys on the team seem like that. What's the overall competitiveness of this group, and in what ways do you guys compete kind of outside of football?
I mean, I can't speak for, you know what I'm saying, everyone, but I mean, it's just a competitive atmosphere, you know what I'm saying, being on this team and, you know what I'm saying, in this locker room. I mean, you know what the stakes are high, you know what I'm saying, day in and day out, and you just, everybody's competitive.
Following one of the all-time great baseball players, David Ortiz, in the Granite State as he was in Nashua discussing and signing his bottles of wine. Here he is with me.
So David Ortiz in New Hampshire is pitching some wine. Tell us a little bit about that. You've obviously had varied interest outside of baseball, which you've heard about through the course of your career. What's been your interest in wine over the years?
Well, you know, I've been having this wine business going on for the past couple of years. It's based pretty much on my family history. My mom, he got her last name, mm-hmm. coming from her family, and one of my really good friends and creator of the Aries Wine, Peter, we put together a whole idea about this wine, and it's going really well. It's going really well.
Has retirement kind of taken on the shape that you expected it to, with obviously doing the stuff with Fox, you're going to be with the Red Sox, the spring training, and obviously the entrepreneurial side of things? Has it been what you expected and what you envisioned?
Not yet, because when you talk about being retired, you talk about maybe chill for a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I've been pretty busy doing so many things. But the most important thing, you know, being able to do the things that you like, things that you love, you know, get to be around the family more, you know. So it's just going back and forth, basically.
I want to ask you about Brady, because if anybody has experience with, you know, what it's like to be performing at the top of your game at 40, it's you. And what have you seen from him, and how hard is it to do what he's doing at that age?
He's a beast, man. I mean, my boy, he just get better and better and better, you know. I mean, everybody was scared about his hand injury, and mm-hmm. and there was a lot of questions out there, but I never doubt what he's able to do, you know. He impressed me more and more and more every day, every time he go out there. So it's a guy that you can never doubt.
There were the rumors kind of throughout the course of last year about, you know, what you were, you know, looking to do, whether you're going to come back or how you're training and so forth. Was there ever a moment where you know, had regret about the decision, and where you were thinking about, okay, I'm going to do this, I can just come back for the second half of the year or play for the Red Sox?
No, not really. I you know, if I was going to continue to play, I was just going to continue to play. But I think my time was up, and it was time to move on. You know, I think I gave everything I have while I play, and I think fans appreciate that more.
In conclusion, just looking at the Red Sox this year, they haven't had the big splash in free agency that we've seen in previous years. They're still looking for that bat pretty much to replace you in the lineup. But still, I mean, the pitching staff and the makings are there. But do you think they need that one more bat to kind of allow for, because you took so much pressure off of Mookie and Jackie because everybody knew that you were going to come through. Do you feel like they need that extra bat still?
Extra bat is always good. It's always working, you know, and especially the way the offense have built up mm-hmm. in that division. So I'm pretty sure the Red Sox are working really hard to see if they can sign J.D. Martinez. They're going back and forth, so hopefully end up happening because often it's always good.
Pon, it's always good to see you. Look forward to seeing you in spring training.
Hey, thanks, man. See you.